KCHZYB Mobile here in Columbus, Ohio.
Call Echo Link. This is N4HHC.
Yeah, impressive. KD2VNG.
Impressive, I tell you.
The other day, I think from, I want to say Yugoslavia. No, I think it was Hungary. I didn't jump in on that. I was listening.
It's how it works. You're able to chime in through the internet anywhere. So, my name is Warren. I'm a local here at the repeater in a little town outside Greenville called Taylor's. Over.
This is Glenn, Kilo Delta 2 Bravo November Golf. I'm in Gray Court, South Carolina. Our Echo Link person is there, or he just poked his head in and left?
I'm down in Gray Court, Steve Schaefer. I don't know. I'll think of his call here in a minute. Over.
Yeah, I think I know who you mean. Probably someone that I've talked to, and probably someone who's in or near Gray Court. I'm sure I'll hear people again. Eventually I'll learn everyone's names or at least their call signs, even though I've been playing with this repeater for quite a while now. I'm not real good that way. I used to have a better memory than I did.
Not completely. I'm mobile right now, driving, so I'm not writing anything down and not giving anybody's call but mine.
I had a little voice recorder, which was good for that purpose, though. I don't know where it is. Seems to have gotten lost. You know, that's why you carry a thing like that. Push a button and record whoever's on the, I guess for back in the day when we still required to keep logbooks. In theory, I suppose we still are required. I'm supposed to log every transmission with anybody, even if it's for 10 seconds. Or is that still part of the rule? It might be.
I just kind of log the ones I want to log. So how does that work? Is that okay? Over.
Don't have the Part 97 rule book in front of me, so I couldn't tell you. Yeah. Well, nowadays with a lot of the digital modes that are out there, it'll do things like automatically send out your call sign and automatically log call signs. So eventually the call book will be built, the call logging mechanism will be built into the radio.
That's very possible, but I know they've got the thing where you can check the box to have it automatically report. And it's kind of neat to be able to look on the website and see all the stations that heard you. You know, so, if it was a commercial product, you know, you'd probably could be concerned a little more about privacy. But, hey, this is a hobby, N4HHC.
SCKD2BNG. Yeah, that's true. And as I said, in some of the digital modes, I think you already got the equivalent of caller ID. What is it, APRS, where, all my transmissions get preceded by my call sign, the date and timestamp, coordinates if I have any, you know, that sort of thing. So, no one's in a real big rush to go digital. I think maybe they're waiting for the smoke to clear to see who eventually emerges. I personally think DMR is the one that's gaining ground. And there's a lot of DMR radios out there cheaply available. The Chinese radio shops have quite a few of them. Not that expensive.
Yeah, the digital, it's pretty interesting, but you're right. You got three modes, and you got offshoots of the three, and so I've had D-Star for a while, but it's only in a handheld, and I think I've ever only talked on one repeater, so I have a hotspot with it, and it's kind of fun. So I broke down last week and did buy a DMR, that AnyTone through BridgeCom, and I've done some talking on that. But what I want to do is load the local repeaters in. I'm thinking there's going to be a DMR repeater close enough by, maybe to use that. Over.
Repeater book. There's a few that say D Star, which was that ICOM's protocol or Yaesu's protocol or somebody's protocol. DMR, I don't know. And yeah, you know, the radios are getting cheaper. I deal directly with the distributor, 409shop.com, somewhere in Hong Kong. Probably the better, good prices, including the shipping costs, but, you know, if you ship it, it's going to take a while. But they had a DMR mobile, I think, a dual-band DMR mobile for as low as about $250, I think, which for a mobile dual-band radio of almost any sort isn't bad. I forget which brand name. I think it was TYT. They're one of the better Chinese brands. So I got enough radios as it is, but if I wanted one, I'd look at that one.
I'm not familiar, you know, with that. I will say I've been pleased with this AnyTone. You know, it seems to have a nice feel to it. It doesn't feel like it's all plastic. You know, so anyway, we'll see how it goes. Ever.
Calling about the Chinese imports for mobile radios. I got a lot of them for handheld radios. But, you know, at 50 watts of output power, you're going to blow up something you're not going to at 5 watts. So, for mobile radios, I'd rather stick to, you know, the big three. Kenwood, Yaesu, ICOM, whoever else is in there. Actually, Motorola, if they're in, actually commercial radios, make very good ham radios. I've got one made by Midland, you know, UHF commercial radio, which I don't install because there's not enough 70-centimeter repeaters around here. But I do have that one commercial rig, and, you know, those are very solid. They're made to stand up to a lot of abuse. The microphone on that thing you could probably use as a weapon. What is it? What's that medieval weapon? It's like a wooden handle with a chain with a spiky ball on the end of it. What is it, a mace or a flail or what do they call it? But the microphone on that thing you could use for that. Yeah, it was made by Midland. I bought it when I had the, when I was running the taxi cab in New York City. They had extra radios, so I figured, okay, give me another radio. But those work very well, commercial VHF, UHF radios. If you want, like, reliability.
I'm not familiar at all with that, but I'll say from what I'm reading on the AnyTone, it sounds like you can go in and change it from amateur to professional, and then it, you know, works on the commercial, but it doesn't work on the amateur. So it's the same radio, it's just whichever way you have it set up and configured. Over.
Generally speaking, now they're all Part 90 acceptable radios. So, you know, you can always take a commercial radio and put it on the amateur radio band. You're, you know, strongly discouraged from doing the reverse. But yeah, if they're Part 90 radios, they're, you know, open to, you know, program any frequency you want in there that you can legally use. Yeah, AnyTone I haven't dealt with specifically, but, you know, they're pretty much similar. And actually, when you think about it, the same factory that makes those is probably right next door to the Kenwood and Yaesu factory. So, qualitatively, they might not be that much worse.
think they're next door because, from what I understand, the Kenwood factory burned down. And that's kind of one reason why they aren't putting out anything new or anything at all. They're THD-74. I've got that radio, and it was about a $500 radio when I bought it. And you can buy a used one now on Amazon or eBay for like $800. So that kind of tells you, because they're not made anymore, they won't be made anymore, and that's the end of that radio, and it is an amazing radio.
I didn't know that. So Kenwood, you're saying had a major, most of their radio production is gone? Yeah, funny, I didn't hear about that. Yeah, you know, eBay or whatever, I'd rather deal personally with hams locally or at a ham fest. eBay could be dodgy. You know, you got people on eBay trying to unload their unusable junk. But okay, so you're saying Kenwood has major production problems, to put it mildly. But I mean, obviously they're still in business, yes?
Imagine they had all their radios manufactured in the one plant. But that THD-74, that one was the main radio for that plant, I guess. And so that's no more. But I don't really have any idea about the others. This is N4H HC Mobile.
Although, you know, in a lot of cases, the unfortunate trend has been, and we're seeing this in a lot of cases now with food production, there's been a trend towards consolidating and centralizing production. And, you know, having all these factories or all these food processing plants and such a thing in one place, you know, especially when the large supplier buys out small supplier. But we see the effect on the supply chain when, as you said, one of those major factories has an accident or, you know, something else happens. Wasn't there something about that on a couple of the major food processing plants burned down somewhere in the Midwest or something, and that has an impact on grocery prices, at least for the short term. So, yeah, they probably didn't have factories all over the place everywhere, but they probably had only a few. And, you know, with one of them gone, that's why centralized production, centralized management is not always a good thing.
Yeah, I got to look for some gas here shortly, so I'm having too much fun on the radio. And repeat your name for me again. All right, well, maybe chime back in a little bit. This is N4HHC.
HC, KD2BNG. Name here was Glenn, the Gulf Fleet Echo, November. Yeah, all right, I'm just sitting here in the driveway, so I'm either going to go back inside or go drive somewhere. But nice talking to you, 73.